Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits from this afternoon's show. We had some great guests in, as always, didn't
we? Yeah, busy day today.
The Harlem Globetrotters came in, but you won't hear from them.
Well, I mentioned
just some of the other people you won't hear from. Let me tell you about the ones you will. Suggs was here.
He was.
He was on very good form. Always good to see him.
Kevin Day. Was,
Kevin Day, yeah.
Very funny.
Almost better after Palace have lost.
Very harsh.
Than when they've won.
Very true. And we had a little chat about the weekend's great events.
Yeah, we did. We did do that. And here it all is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. And never mind City United or the Super Classico between River and Boca. Torquay crashed out of the FA Cup.
I know, yeah.
I'm so disappointed, honestly. I was hoping that they were going to meet Chelsea in the third round. We're going to beat them about 6-0.
Yeah. It would have been great if they'd beaten you, wouldn't it? Would you have come in on the Monday with our producer being
no,
at all? Charlie Baker in the studio.
If we lost the Torquay, I was never coming in again.
Well, you haven't got to worry about that.
No,
yeah.
I haven't got to worry about it now. And, yes, but it was a good sporting weekend. I did watch the Super Classico. I know you did as well.
I did, yeah. I quite enjoyed it. It was a much better game than I thought. This was the game that Andy was talking up last week, the game between Boca Juniors and River Plate, the Buenos Aires Derby in the Champions League final, the Libertadores final. And it was sort of pretty end-to-end. It was a very entertaining two-all draw, wasn't it?
Yeah, the atmosphere was fantastic, wasn't it? The football, people have said to me, the standard wasn't that great, was it? And I said to you, it's like a good championship game being played in the Nou Camp.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was like.
I mean, qualities. There's a few good players on the pitch, but not that many, really.
Tevez stood out, and he's about 50 now.
Yeah, when he came on as a sub, didn't he?
And
Benedetto's all right.
Yes, he missed one.
Villa's not bad.
Villa. Martinez for River, but I think the coaches of the coach of Boca is Guillermo Barros Schelotto and his brother. They're the most identical twins since the Weasleys or Eric and Alec Bedser.
It messes with your head, doesn't it, when you see these two identical twins on the bench.
But the other coach, Gallardo, as they call him over there, he wasn't actually there. Tim Capel was commentating. He did a good job. He obviously knows himself. But for some reason, he hadn't realised, or somebody hadn't told him, that the coach was banned. He kept saying things like, Gallardo's expression hasn't changed all night. I thought, well, no wonder he's not in the stadium.
He was banned for going in and doing the team talk in the last match,
exactly,
wasn't he?
Right.
A little bit of a moody team talk. When he did a Steve McFadden.
Yeah.
He pulled his collar up and pulled his baseball cap down and thought no one would recognise him.
Yeah, didn't work.
And it didn't work.
So he ended up watching it in a hotel with Enzo Francescoli, the very famous River player. And
Uruguay.
And of course the ref did really well, but as I said to you, is this not one for Simon Hooper? I feel it was under pressure.
No, wasn't that ref good? He was very Chilean. He was fantastic. Didn't put up with any nonsense, did he? Really, bad diving and some poor tackles.
It was good fun. And
2 weeks, isn't it? The second leg.
Second leg, 26th of November, I think, Saturday the 26th. Yeah.
Well, it was supposed to happen on Saturday night, but the weather was so bad in Buenos Aires, they had to delay it for 24 hours, didn't they?
It's true. Yeah, it's true. I went to the bridge there yesterday.
Oh yeah.
Wasn't great, really. I mean, we're the opposite of Tottenham. We're playing all right. We've got nobody who can put the ball in the net. And it's funny when people go, oh, it's our great unbeaten run for Sarri. But we've drawn three out of the last four games. That's two defeats at home. That's like having two defeats at home. So draws just kill you in this league.
What do you think of Everton?
I thought they missed an opportunity. Actually, I thought they were pretty negative, and Chelsea were there for the taking. It was a very similar performance to the one against West Ham. It's that was their second game after an away in Europa League game out of this season, and both games have ended 0-0, and both games they were better in the second half. And had Chelsea scored in the second half, you got the feeling they would have gone on to win the game quite comfortably. But yeah, they're all right, but you know, they're just average, you know, at 7th, 8th at best. You know, they're not going to do anything better than that, I wouldn't have thought. But they're like Wolves. Everton and Wolves are teams that can take points off the top 6.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, I don't know. I thought I only saw sort of highlights of the City United game. I don't know what Mourinho's going on about, really. He might as well just admit that City are better than them.
Well, they were still in it, of course, at 2-1, because you never quite know, but you never really thought they were going to get the second goal, and then once City scored, that was the end of that, really. But it was a pretty dominant victory. You didn't see it live. You were...
Well, I was at... I went from there to my granddaughter's birthday party. And I was trying
Somebody gave the result away.
He did, yeah. It wasn't his fault, really, because I hadn't told him. It was pretty annoying. I was trying to do a lightly, lads. And then I managed to squeeze in just watching the highlights before the Boca River game started. But and the rugby on Saturday. I mean, I don't know anything about rugby, but I do know that England should have gone for a drop goal at the end there. I'm going, OK, line it up for a drop goal, line it up for a drop. And they fling it out to the right. You're going, you've played this game all your lives. You must. I don't know this game, but I know you should have gone for a drop goal.
Is Andy wrong? Let him know. Why didn't they go for the drop goal that he said they should have done?
Well, they only had a minute to go. It was obvious that they needed to do that.
Would have been
a good
enough
position.
To win.
Would have been enough to win. And the hacker, really, it's about time they got rid of it. Really, it just honestly, I went back and I did this. I've done this before. I went back and had a look at the 1972-73 version.
Yeah.
And it's quite fun, and it's what you remember. They just sort of do a couple of the old, you know, then they just leap up in the air.
Thanks for that, Andy.
And that's it. And it lasts about 20 seconds. Now it goes on for about 5. It's like a play. It's ridiculous. It's like everything's
great.
Become...
Halfway through the hacker, you can go and buy a Haagen-Dazs choc ice. I've only got strawberry and chocolate left.
Everything's like that now. Like the first round of the Cup, nobody even bothered with it before. Now it's become this big thing that's on telly on Friday and on Monday. Everything's bigger than it was, wasn't it? So there you go. But that's the hacker. For me, too long. Get rid of it.
Get what? Just not the shorter version?
Well, you can have the shorter version if you want, but not that long, intimidating.
There's been an awful lot of throat cutting going on, doesn't there?
Oh, yeah. It's really violent. And the crowd did well, actually, to do sort of swing low, sweet.
They always do that. And the England players just sort of link arms and face it down. But, eating a choc ice is not a bad idea, or something like that might be quite... Just stand in front of them, just... Yeah, why not?
I just stay in the dressing room until they've done it and then come out.
Somebody did that once, didn't they? They wasn't having that. They turn your back on it, they don't have that. You face it down, they won't have that. There is no... I mean, do your own one, shadow them, try and do it like it's a dance-off.
No.
They won't have that.
They won't have that,
No. Anyway, have you ever reinvented yourself, Andy? I'm asking, Tony Bellew has, or sorry, Anthony Bellew has... Tony Bellew is no more.
Yes, I see.
He's getting a new phone. He's changing his phone, which is going to be a bit of a pain because a lot of people are going to want to phone it to give him TV work because he's been very good at it. So
he doesn't want to do that either. He says you won't see him in the ring again. But how many times does the boxer say that?
Do you think he's going to? No, I'm not sure you'll see him in the ring again. But I think you know he's been good when he's done telly. I'm sure. He says he's not going to do that either.
Well, he's got to have a life, yeah. Well, he says you know he's just going to be private
he's
person.
Going to move away from boxing completely. Yeah. Well, we'll see.
But we shall see. That'll be a shame because he's good on the media.
He is, yeah. If you've ever reinvented yourself, TalkSport listeners, if you tried to, because people really won't let you. So if you are sort of Tony Smith, for example. And they say, you're right, Tone. You say, well, actually, I'm going back for Anthony again. I think you're doing what? could you call me Anthony from now? And it's the Andrew, Andy Cole situation.
Oh, yeah, very much so, yeah.
People are going to say, no, I can't.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Anyway, Kevin Day is with us in the studio. He's come in before when his team Palace had beaten Chelsea. And I was slightly fearful it was going to happen again. But the boot was on the other foot. Good afternoon, Kev.
Good afternoon. Always a pleasure to be in with a Chelsea fan and a Tottenham fan the week after losing to both.
Yeah.
You know, a bit harsh for you.
It is always a pleasure to do the show. When people say to me, what are those two like? I say they're the nicest blokes you can meet. They're great broadcasters. They'll say, Andy's a bit illogical, isn't he? And I'll go, no, he's not. He's fine. He just has his moments. But then he'll say something like, I nearly had to leave the room as I was laughing so much. In the course of one sentence, you want to get rid of the hacker and the first round of the FA Cup. Just both labelled as two things the world Andy could do without.
In the space of seconds.
The hacker. Because I agree with it. The hacker, what England need is an English version of the hacker, basically. You need the England team with a pint in each hand and Morris dancing bells just to abuse the New Zealanders.
That'd be good.
Because it is violent. It's horrible. It's violent.
Yeah, I think it is.
But what's wrong with the first round of the FA Cup?
Nothing wrong with it, but
that's good.
There's nothing wrong with it at all. It's a great competition, but as the competition, as interest in the competition has waned over the years, it's interesting that the first and second round have become this big thing on telly. I mean, when you were growing up, it never started till the third round, did it? The FA Cup.
It did.
Well,
it
no, but it didn't just start running for about 6 months.
No, but in terms, yes,
well,
I know.
No, considering the team, see, this is a typical Chelsea.
It's quite elitist,
fan,
isn't it?
Typical Tottenham fan. The team I supported was in the third division. Look it up, kids.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
You should remember the first round. You were playing in it.
Well, that's one. Yeah, one of the reasons the Palace Brighton rivalry is so fierce, because it started with a second round FA Cup game. So it's always existed, Andy. Would you deny Hampton and Richmond a nice little earner from the FA Cup tonight by being on BT Sport 9?
No.
Exactly. Of course you wouldn't.
I wouldn't. Of course I wouldn't. But, you know,
because you were in Northern Hampton,
but you get the
does.
Point that I make, that it is an interesting contradiction, in as much as the interest in the FA Cup itself is much less than it used to be, and yet the interest in the first and second round is more.
I think the red button has allowed that. That's why. There's other, you know, ways you probably wouldn't give a game over necessarily in early rounds, even like some of the prelim rounds get shown live, which is, it's got to be good, isn't it? Got to be good for the clubs. I make a few quid and everything.
Yeah,
I suppose so. Anyway, so on with patronising Palace.
Yeah, on.
Yeah,
so,
it's a good idea.
But let's start with, I noticed the old Roy out, the Hodgson out lobby has kind of gone up to 11 really since the weekend. Now, what's your feeling?
I'm not sure. It's a couple of tablets. There was some sporadic booing when Mayer was taken off on Saturday, but Mayer didn't have a very good game, and the jury is still out on Mayer, because his nickname is the German Messi, but it turns out he called himself that, which is not
ideal. Is it?
On your own TV, there should be an asterisk. Even on Wikipedia, it should say there should be an asterisk. Say German Messi, he says that.
Hashtag own nickname.
There's no real. The thing is, the coaching is as good as it was last season. Mm. If that's praise, it is. The coaching is as good as it was, but we've unimproved the squad. We've taken Kabay out and Loftus-Cheek, and we haven't replaced him. So there's no point getting Hodgson out unless you're going to bring a lot better players in. So there's no real mood around the ground for also, the thing is, as well, as a patronising Tottenham, I've come to the conclusion, 7:30 on Saturday, I came to the conclusion there's only two sorts of Tottenham fans, patronising and feral.
Right.
Basically. And I got into a discussion with one of the feral ones who was giving it large. I asked him to desist from giving it large. You know, disagreed with his theory as to how high Tottenham would finish up the table. But one of the patronising ones just came out and went, "No, you are hard to beat, mate, but we always beat you."
it's quite annoying.
We're not all like
that. But it's kind of right. We are hard to beat, but at the same time, we're losing a lot of games.
I think you have to concede that in both those games, Palace, I thought they were very unlucky. First of all, to start without Zaha. And then Tompkins, who was having a storming game, he goes off, and then you can see from a corner, you know, and that's unlucky.
We conceded from a corner because the player we have on loan, Jordan Ayew, who's that rare example of a player on loan who's playing not to get a contract.
Yeah.
He decided not to bother. It wasn't the centre-backs not defending, it was Jordan Ayew thinking, this bloke's quite tawny. Mm. This bloke was angry.
You know, the organisational skills of Tompkins, you know, you miss that. Disrupts the whole thing. I thought it was a bit unlucky.
There's a half thing's a bit of a... Yeah, we don't win with him in the team. Without him in the team, we don't win that much with him in the team as well. It's not, and also Zaha's been played out. The biggest argument amongst Palace fans is about Zaha, because I don't understand. And of course, I accept grudgingly that Roy Hodgson knows more about football than I do. Right? His policy on substitutes is clearly based on the fact that when he started playing football, there were no substitutes, and he hasn't quite got up to speed with that startling new development in football, because he either brings none on or three at the same time. It's like Ray Lewington says to him, "Don't forget 1968 first. Oh yeah, of course, bring them all on." Or he doesn't bring any up. But of course, Roy knows more about football than I do. But I don't think Wolf Sahar playing with his back to goal is the best. If you've got one outstanding player in your team and he happens to be a left winger, then play him at left wing. That's my view. But Roy's so wed to 4-4-2 that he has to play 4-4-2 regardless of the personnel. And that's a frustrating thing against Chelsea, because we had a good spell against Chelsea. But Wolf's not the sort of player. He's not a hold-up player. He's not going to... You know, if he gets a ball, if he's playing centre-forward, as he has been doing, or with the striker, then he's got two centre-backs behind him and two centre-midfield players in front of him. It's ludicrous. But it will be fine. We're not far away from being an average team.
No, I mean,
you'll be all right, you think?
I do.
I was waiting. I wish you hadn't asked me to say that, because as soon as one of you said that, I was going to jump on you like a panther. As soon as one of you two said you'll be all right,
I'm asking as a question.
You've asked me to patronise myself.
You're much closer to it than me. You're not concerned.
I'm starting to be concerned, I'll be perfectly honest. A couple of weeks ago, I consoled myself like most Palace fans did with the fact that Huddersfield and Cardiff were right off already, and then they've suddenly started.
Yeah, they've won a couple
winning games.
I'm
annoyed about the fact that even at this stage of the season, we're actually talking about the possibilities of relegation, because this was supposed to be yet another season where we kicked on after staying, and we simply haven't done that. And it's like a friend of mine said: there's only so often you can swirl around the plug hole before finally you go down it. It's like as Sunderland found out, as Stoke found out, as West Brom found out. If you don't set your ambitions a little bit higher than staying up every season, and that was the frustrating thing for me after the Chelsea game. Is quite rightly so. I mean, you bring on Eden Hazard, we bring on AU. It was quite obvious the last 10 minutes. I thought we played decently against Chelsea.
But they did.
Chelsea declared 10 minutes ago. If you needed to score another goal, you would have scored another goal.
Possibly,
you know, if Morata hadn't tried to lob the tallest goalkeeper in the Premier League in the last kick of the game, he probably would have scored another goal. Yeah. But to hear Roy Hodgson afterwards say, "Well, we've got no chance coming to a place like this," is, we have to be realistic about where we're going to finish in the league. So it's like, if you allow us to dream. If you don't even allow us to dream about finishing ninth, which is the limit of, you know, great. I'd want to go as deep. The idea of maybe winning a game at home, finishing ninth, I'd take that every season.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Suggs has joined us a touch early. Hi, Suggs. How are you?
I'd love to think I could be a Harlem Globetrotter.
Well, you've still got time.
Yeah, you never know. I do remember seeing him when I was 6 years old. What an institution. Yeah, you know, it's like, you're going to the circus, Harlem Globetrotter.
Oh, was it Earl's Court?
It was like that. Well, they would play, sometimes play Wembley, wouldn't they? The Empire Pool. Every August bank holiday would be over here, wouldn't they? Yeah. So we'll talk a bit of football and more later. But you're on History, aren't you? The History Channel.
I am this evening.
Season 2, World War II Treasure Hunters. Although tonight's is in light of everything we've witnessed this weekend, is a First World War special.
Exactly. Yeah. The rest of the series is about the Second World War. I mean, we did one series for people who haven't seen it. Basically, I'll go around with some detectorists and archaeologists to sites where troops were based before they were sent off, either for the First or the Second World War. And they go around with metal detectors finding stuff, and we find all sorts of extraordinary things. Like, I mean, the most extraordinary thing is a Mourne Hill, which is where the First World War troops were gathering. We found a dog tag. So you've got someone's name, and you can trace it back. We found a photograph of this guy.
Wow.
You were talking about the programme.
Peter
saw last
Jackson,
night,
They Shall Not Grow, which is amazing. Yeah,
well, you've just this bringing that. These things back to life, which is what happens when we do these programmes. And you see a photograph of this geezer. He's come from Naples, gone to New York. He's finally made it. And what he gets sent back to Europe and then dies, you know.
Wow.
In the trenches. But Mourne Hill, extraordinary. Yeah, we were talking just then as well. They were coming from all over the world. I mean, this geezer's in khaki shorts and pith helmets coming back from Australia, from India, from Africa. And it's like, you know, February in England, you know, 2 foot of snow. Most of them die of hypothermia before they got anywhere near the boats that were going down to fight on the front.
When you make a show like this, though, I mean, do you know there's going to be stuff there? I mean, you've got to have some idea. You can't all turn up with a camera crew and they go, "Oh, sorry, Suggs, we haven't found anything." Oh, okay, that's it.
Well, they kind of
thank
you
very much. Yeah, right. they've got to know that there's stuff there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my job in this show is to be the average man. We've got expert Stephen Taylor, who co-presents it with me, is a historian, and yeah, so he has to have a vague idea of where these places were. But ironically, they're not so easy to find because a lot of these camps were very temporary places. And of course, once the soldiers went off to fight, there was nothing left behind, a few old tents. So, but some of them are on private ground, like there's a couple we found in some country estates. And the good thing from our point of view is they haven't been detectorized. I'm struggling with this word and its various derivations grammatically.
We all know it from the great show, The Detectorist.
I think we do, that's right. Yeah, do you ever get out there with the old metal detector and the headphones now and again?
Oh, you know what? Oh, we have a lovely pint of old scrumpy me and the detectives. I'll tell you what. What a gang. What a bunch.
But
they're all lovely, though.
It is amazing, really, that you've turned your career into sort of two distinct things. You've got Madness and the singing and the songs. But you've been doing TV for a long time in lots of different series.
Yeah, on and off. Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I started off doing some funny old karaoke program with a mutual friend of Paul's. But that's got too nepotistic, where the word is.
Yeah.
But from that, I got a call saying, would you like to help us through the intricacies of late Victorian steam engine restoration? I thought, well, that's me. Yeah, of course.
You did one on old London as well, didn't you?
I did a couple of shows on the history of London, which I found very fascinating.
Yeah,
and it's very nice. I found a little niche in historical documentaries, which is the very last thing I thought I was going to be doing when I was leaping about doing One Step Beyond in the Dublin cast.
It's a bit of a gear change.
1979. If my mum could see me now, yeah. But, you know, it is endlessly fascinating history. And, you know, partly because I did nothing at school, I'm catching up really on all this stuff because I was just wasting my time.
You went up to Hull, didn't you? I see in episode two, which was a place that was heavily bombed, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a story in itself. You know, I knew about the London Blitz and a bit about Coventry, you know. But Hull, 95% of the buildings at the centre of Hull were bombed. And, you know, I mean, the obvious thing is, of course, we were getting nothing across the channel, primarily because the other side had been occupied. So, of course, it was all coming from the Atlantic and it was coming to Hull and places like that and Liverpool. And, of course, the Germans were very keen on stopping that line of stuff coming through. So Hull was very, very badly bombed, yeah. And so this in itself is all, you know, new to me.
Again, it's the human stories, isn't it? Because I see in that episode, without giving too much away, you find things there that you can kind of reunite with the relatives, can't you? Which is a nice thing to be able to do all those years on.
Exactly right. You know, that's another great joy of this programme. Yeah, whether it's finding dog tags with somebody's name on it, or, you know, we found a spoon. You know, you think, well, there's a spoon. What all these detectors, all you found is a spoon. Where's the tank? Where's the spec bar? But on the back of this spoon is a number, and that number leads you to an individual man who was a Spitfire pilot. We found his photograph, and we managed to get the spoon back to his relatives, which are, you know, moving things. You know, I mean, I think of all of this, you know, this story is such a big one, and those two wars are so almost unimaginable. But I think through single stories, you for me, I get a better picture of...
It sort of humanises.
Of the human element, you know, and just kids. They're just kids going off with no idea what was waiting for them on the other side.
And you went to Dunkirk, I see, in the series as well.
Yeah, we did, yeah. And that was all very... I mean, Dunkirk, I mean, there's so many stories from that, of course. But Ypres I went to for the first World War show, which we're showing tonight. And that, I mean, just the scale of death there. And one of the interesting things was there, I met these... guys who they're employed by property developers because you cannot do any digging around that area without minesweeping because it's something like 5 million tons of ordnance, they call it, unexploded bombs still. So where they were showing me, you know, aerial x-rays of the ground around there, you can see where the trenches were, and obviously that's where most of the bombs, you know. And while I was with him, he found two unexploded bombs and a whole load of bullets. He went, this is a quiet day for me. It's like, you know, I mean, that's some sort of job he's got there. But yeah, of course, it's all just, you know, and people ask me, why is it still fascinating? I mean, I think certainly the Second World War, you know, it was the most epochal moment in our lives. And I don't think we should ever forget about it. And hopefully remember this is, you know, these people died for our democracy and all the rest of the things we take for granted.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that was certainly brought home over the weekend from what we saw. So it starts tonight, 9 o'clock, 7 shows. And can you stick around, Suggs? Can we talk
of course
a bit more?
Paul.
Lovely.
Yeah, course,
we'll talk a bit of Chelsea, of course. And we'll talk a bit about what Madness are up to at the moment. And lots more besides. Suggs with us in the studio. Harlem Globetrotters will be joining us a little bit later on too.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You're also out and about with a band coming up at Christmas, aren't you, Suggs?
Talking about history, yeah.
But the Madness Christmas shows were a bit of an institution, no, aren't they?
They're not mutually exclusive, let's put it that way. No. People seem to enjoy Madness around Christmas time. Yeah. It's funny, I've just come back from Glasgow and I was talking to some pals of mine up there. When we were playing Glasgow, for instance, I hear the pubs tipping out about 4 o'clock and they're all singing Madness songs. You know? You think you're going to be exhausted by the time you get anywhere near the venue. But, of course, they're not.
No.
They are not.
Do you still rehearse? I mean, do you need to? Or is it like, is it just muscle memory now?
Sometimes. I mean, probably we should more than we do. But we're not always around long enough in each other's company to... But yeah, I mean, you know, if we're going to do... I mean, sometimes we try and do some new songs. In this tour, we do a few new songs. Yeah. And some odd cover versions or album tracks we haven't played for a while. So those things need rehearsing. But probably the majority of the set doesn't. No.
And when it comes to putting together the set list, I mean, does it sort of kind of write itself most of the time?
I mean, you know, over the years, it's kind of... We had periods of, you know, I think all bands do, of just deciding, right, no, never mind that. We're going to play all our new album. Yeah. All the hits can just nap off.
Yeah.
And, of course, as the audiences dwindle, fall asleep, we'll sit on the floor, slow hand clapping, you kind of readjust. And I think, you know, when I see any band myself, you know, I'd see Stevie Wonder, I don't want to hear the whole of his, you know, I say I love you album.
Yeah.
You know, I want to hear the other ones as well. So I think you get a balance in there, and that's what we've got. We've got a balance of those big hits and a few things you might not expect. But generally... Yeah, the set writes itself.
Do you have to gen up on the lyrics, or are they all in there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a funny thing, lyrics. I mean, they are all there. But I was talking, actually, the other day, well, in my one-man show, the one time, for instance, we were doing the closing ceremony of the Olympics, you know, and the doors open, and there it is. Oh, there's 1 billion people all around the world watching live. I nearly fell off the back of the lorry. I realised the mic stand wasn't attached or anything. And I grabbed Chris, my guitarist, realised he wasn't attached to anything either. And it gets to me in the song, and I forget the first line of the song. Yeah. Wow, so sometimes it can happen. Yeah.
What was the song you did?
It was Our House.
Oh, really?
And I'm shouting at Chris, what's the first line? He says, I don't blooming well. No, I'm a guitarist, mate. But it can happen.
That's quite a nightmare.
But no, I don't know about yourself. I mean, I don't know what context to put it in other than that singing. But, you know, if I start thinking what the first line is, that's when I'm in trouble.
Yeah,
I just hear the music and I just let it go and it's normally there.
Is there one you particularly look forward to, Sucks?
I mean, I love them all. Doing? You know, I mean, I don't mean to be cliched. I'm sure a lot of people tell you, you know, they've all done me a lot of good, these songs.
Yeah.
They're still very popular. I mean, Embarrassment is a song that isn't normally so lauded, but I really like that song. It's a strange song. It doesn't really have a chorus and it's got a great lyric and a nice melody and I don't know, I always enjoy playing that.
Now, you mentioned your one-man show there. Is that finished now? Or are you still working?
Yeah, I mean, I've done two shifts of it this year. Yeah. My Life in the Realm of Madness, King Canute. What a King Canute. Anyway,
That's a really nice one. Took me a bit of time.
Move on. That's an old English king. I'm trying to learn the youngsters medieval language.
Yeah. Well, you're on the History Channel. So you know what you're talking about.
That's it.
So, but what do people get when, I mean, you're not singing it, are you?
No, I'm telling stories and I've got a keyboard player. So I play some of the songs that I wrote over the years, explain how and why I wrote them. I mean, this particular show, the first show I did was about, I realised how I got to be famous. And this show is a bit more about what happens when you do get there. So I put it in this King Canute context, which was just, you know, the idea that you can hold back the waves or hold back anything, basically. It's similar, I think, sometimes to what people feel in show business, you know, whether it's age or your success or, you know, you get a feeling you might be a little bit more powerful than you really are. So it's just, you know, I mean, I'm telling stories about my career, but obviously mostly taking the mickey out of myself in the stories. So, yeah, just having a laugh and telling stories.
And you might bring that, obviously, you've just finished that tour, but might do some more at some stage.
So I might do more of that next year, yeah. I mean, it's a funny thing. It's a bit like starting out again in a band. You know, I've just been playing very small theatres, just getting the hang of it, really. And as the reviews go on, it gets more and more popular. So maybe next year I'll do another tour of it. I'm not exactly sure.
Do you get the Chelsea years?
I haven't so much this season. No, just work has been just full on. And I've been twice, I think, this season, yeah. I mean, I love what's happening. I like that Surrey a lot, yeah. I think we're, you know, considering what happened last season, things have picked up much more quickly than I thought they were going to.
Yeah.
He seems to have really galvanised the players like Hazard and Willian, doesn't he, that seemed like flat last season. I'll tell you what's a funny story. Actually, my wife, she's on a plane the other day going to Italy, and who's sitting next to her? Conte.
Wow.
And she said he was looking at one of them language things, you know. And I said, well, what was it? What language was it? We could be on it for some money.
Yeah.
Was it Spanish? Was it Norwegian? Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Hey, was it? What was the language?
Celtic job. Glaswegian phrase book. Sounds like.
That's what I'm pretty sure it was. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. But she couldn't overhear him, so we'll never know.
Was he doing the old sort of repeating it in the other language? Oh, that's fantastic.
What's my players are tatted? In Spanish.
Yeah, that would have been great to have found out. What a shame.
I must say,
it's a much better atmosphere around the club, but you just feel the thing that people say is right. Just the lack of goals, really, and lack of somebody. I mean, yesterday, Morata had a great chance. So it was a good save from Pickford, but you just know that any striker really would have buried that, really. Kane would have scored that goal, and he didn't. And so, you know, and if they'd gone one up, I think they would have won the game quite easily.
This is it. Fair play to Everton.
I mean,
love Morata, I totally agree, but he's not a Costa, he's not a Drogba, he's not a killer. He's a very good footballer, but, you know, killers are few and far between, I mean, in a metaphorical sense.
Yeah.
In front of goal.
Yes, you know, they are, aren't they?
I mean, we have great luxury of having so many over the years. But anyway, the team are playing fantastically. And, you know, as I say, the enthusiasm this season's been, you know, revelation from what happened last season.
And you were sort of making the point that it wasn't the complete Torres nightmare that you slightly feared with Morata. You thought, oh, God, it's going to be another Torres. But that's not been the case, is it, really?
No. A player coming off a team playing really well, playing rubbish for us, and then going off and playing brilliantly again for Spanish.
Yeah.
I mean, it still could happen with Morata, but I hope he starts. I mean, he's got a few goals, hasn't he? The last five games, four goals in the last five games. So there is hope, of course.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised he didn't bring Giroud on. It gives you a bit more control in the game.
Yeah.
But anyway,
there you go.
That's the way it is. It's a tough league.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Don't ask me.
Here we go then. Five questions based on last week's shows. We were joined by good friends, Corinthian Casuals. First name Chris, surname. What's the name of think of a popular beer from the 70s.
Chris Watney.
Chris Watney, well done. Oh,
that was a real guess.
That documentary's back on.
I nearly called him Chris Red Barrel.
Chris Bass Charrington.
Quite a posh bloke.
Yeah, he's not that posh. Bradley Stokes joined us. He just signed for which team?
Oh, Bradley Stoke.
Okay, well, let me say cocky.
He's very cocky now.
We were joined by the actor that plays Max Branning in EastEnders. What's his name?
Jake Wood.
Oh, Andy, I'm getting a bit worried now. Which former Fulham midfielder joined us to talk about their problems on Tuesday? Struggles, their travails, if you will.
Bad results. Doing this. Golly. How you've done me now.
Yeah?
Oh, no. Come on.
Make it actually worse. You suggested we speak to him on the show. It was your call and the producer's Sean Davis.
Oh, for goodness
And
sake.
Finally, we spoke to Andy Smart on Monday and he was smarting after a Farnborough defeat to which team? We did talk about it for quite a long time.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
It's tailed off, isn't
that's
it?
A long time ago.
It was,
seven days.
You did ask the question, how many coppers are still actually in the
team?
Oh,
for goodness sake.
The Met Police. That's it. Yeah, 3 out of 5, not so bad. I bet Sean Davis is feeling special. You think of him and suggest him, and then you forget who he is. So there we are. That was this afternoon's show.
What we didn't talk about, we were discussing the Super Classic. I don't know if you noticed the stadium in Buenos Aires, the Boca Stadium. It's a three-sided stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
With a sort of flat stands, like a block of flats with balconies.
It's really weird.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the reason they can't build that is because a bloke's house is in the way and he won't move.
Wow.
And there's a footage, I just noticed, I meant to tell you this on the show today, there's footage online of this fan saying, sell your house, like singing sell your house over and over again.
I'm surprised they're that fanatical. I'm surprised he's not had a fire. Do you know what I mean? The old Boca fans. The Boca fans have not just gone there and taken, or just turned up with a bulldozer overnight when he's away.
That's true.
Because they're fanatical, aren't they?
He probably never leaves
his house. He probably don't. It's like the old church in Gladys Street. They had to build the stand around it.
It's true.
Football's littered with stories like
that's
that.
That's very true.
Anyway, we will catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks for downloading us.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.